Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
We continue with Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Well, everybody, let's take an opportunity to look at the anniversary of the Bill of Rights. First, let's go through the Bill of Rights, shall we? Yeah, let's do that. Go to the Legal Information Institute, the First Amendment. Let's check it out now, as they would say. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Sounds pretty straightforward. Interesting. It's curious that they had to put this stuff in after the Constitution was passed, after the Constitution was slid in as a replacement, a very corrupt replacement, for the Articles of Confederation. Curiously, I'd like to show you this story as we talk about the First Amendment, because here's a great example of very bad reporting. And if you saw the link to this story, and I mentioned this to Eric Schiner at MRC TV, I was like, they were calling this a Supreme Court victory for the First Amendment in Virginia. And that attracts a lot of people outside of Virginia to check it out. But it's not the Supreme Court of the United States. It's the Supreme Court of Virginia. These people, it's just amazing. And I don't know whether AI is doing it or what, but there are a lot of really badly written AI stories now. So here's the story. Even with the American Civil Liberties Union fighting against civil rights, this is from the Washington Examiner, so they're conservative, the cause of freedom of conscience won a big victory this week against a Virginia school board's attempt at mandatory wokeness. Lady Justice, she, her pronouns, surely is smiling. This is kind of a cute way to write this. Even 20 years ago, the situation at issue in Vlaming v. West Point School Board would have seemed like a dystopian alternative reality. Peter Vlaming was a high school French teacher with 6 years of experience and consistently positive evaluations. The school board fired him, however, when he refused to refer to a biological female by the male pronouns she preferred, even though Vlaming readily referred to her by her self-chosen male-sounding name and did not use pronouns at all. So, again, we sort of touched on this on Friday, but I want to bring it up now because of the anniversary of the Bill of Rights, just again to stress this nugget of a point to take away as we look at Amendment number one. Even though Vlaming explained that his religious beliefs precluded him from calling a biological girl a boy, the board would not relent. It said that Vlaming was not only forbidden to use pronouns that contradicted the student's chosen identity, but that he had no right to avoid pronouns altogether. Instead, it said he was required to use pronouns that proactively affirmed the student's anatomically incorrect gender predilection, sort of like C-16 in Canada that Jordan Peterson fought so hard to try to bring down. Of course, he did not win. That passed. And any business that is regulated by the Canadian government or any branch of the Canadian government has to have its employees or the owners answer to the specific pronouns that anyone requests when they walk in there, because, of course, they have completely abridged the concept, destroyed the concept of private property and private volition. Therefore, even though he was an excellent teacher, the school board fired him. And when he filed suit saying that his free speech and free exercise of religion were violated, the ACLU filed a brief against him. Never mind the teacher's First Amendment rights, said the supposed guardian group of the First Amendment. That would be the ACLU. The students' right to avoid discrimination, said the left-wing group, had been somehow violated by the teacher's refusal to use masculine pronouns. Well, the Virginia Supreme Court rightly swatted down both the school board and the ACLU. It ruled that the school board had violated both the Virginia State Constitution and the Virginia Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Our sense is that if this case had been in federal courts, the board also would have been found in violation of the well-established prohibition of compelled speech, as the right not to speak is equally protected by the First Amendment as the right to speak freely. Well, there they get it wrong. Again, see, the courts in this case ruled correctly. The Virginia Supreme Court ruled correctly, and probably the reason they did was because the plaintiffs focused on the state constitution. The plaintiffs correctly did not focus on the federal First Amendment because, as I mentioned, the federal First Amendment, and let's bring it up for any budding attorneys out there, openly states Congress shall make no law. As we mentioned, as I mentioned on this show, David Knight has mentioned it many times, and what a great job he did today talking about the Tea Party, talking about the Bill of Rights, talking about parental rights. Just phenomenal, phenomenal show, David. Awesome stuff. And my T-shirt, my MacGuffin T-shirt's on the way. I can't wait. So Congress is specified in Amendment 1. And if you look at the other amendments, there is no particular governing body that's specified because they're universal. The Second Amendment is a universal proscription. Let's look at the Second Amendment now and check that out. So we go back here. Second Amendment, right to keep and bear arms, 1791. A well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, shall not be infringed, shall not be infringed. When any reporter, and I've heard a few of them over the weekend from different clips here and there as I've done my research, you hear these reporters asking people, well, do you think that that licensing is a breach of the right to keep and bear arms? It's a breach, yeah, and shall not be infringed. What else do you need? If you're going to go by the Constitution, don't try to make carve-outs for it. You're supposed to amend it if you don't like the way that it's written. If you don't like signing on to it, don't sign on to it. Leave me alone. I didn't sign on to it. You're forcing that on me. But at least as you force it on me, you could be honest about that. But I guess I can't expect that, can I? Forces the predicate on that. So then we've got the Third Amendment. Now, a lot of people don't review these things. So I wanted to make sure I did that. Wow. Has to do with quartering of soldiers. I know. What a shocker. Now they just do it indirectly. No soldier shall in time of peace. Any declared war right now, folks? Oh, no, that's right. We don't have a declared war under the we of the all-inclusive forced we of the United States government forced on all of us. The United States government hasn't declared war. No soldier shall in time of peace be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. So during war, they assume, hey, we can put soldiers in your house. I think that's pretty darn offensive. But during times of non-declared war, there's no declared war. Hey, Leo, how you doing, buddy? They're not supposed to be calling on your resources to house somebody. So let's look at the fishermen off the coast of New England, you know, off the coast of Boston Harbor. They are forced, not only right now, they're forced to house federal fish counters who make upwards of $700 to $800 per day. Right now, they're paid by you, the taxpayer, whether or not you eat fish, doesn't matter. And they are in the midst of a case whereby it will be heard by the Supreme Court. The fishermen on the East Coast have brought suit because the federal government wants to force them to now pay in addition to putting these fish counter guys up in their boats while they're out at sea. Sometimes overnight for a couple days at a time, they're bunking with these people. Talk about, you know, having people in your private quarters, like the transgenders in the locker room and stuff. Let's look at the Fourth Amendment now and think about some of the ways that this might be breached contemporary-wise. Fourth Amendment, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable, there's their catchword, of course, they can do anything they want that way, against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And no warrants, of course, going by the ancient common law tradition of a public warrant being issued by a judge, no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause determined by the judge. Not a cop pulling you over out on the street. There's one of the most common, most egregious examples, as Carl Sagan would say, millions and billions of egregious examples of the breach of the Fourth Amendment. And in our spaceship of the imagination. And, of course, it has to be upon the judge's determination of probable cause. That leaves it open to another agent of the state to do this, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. So as a voluntarist, you know, we can put forward the cardboard cutouts of the images of all these different things that they've put up to sort of make it seem like there's some sort of authority. Make it seem like there's some sort of, again, predicate upon which they're basing their justifiable actions. They're not justified. None of this is justified. Even the Constitution is not justified. All of their claims of authority over you are not justified because they are claims of authority over you without your consent. Therefore, they're not justified. They're aggressive acts. That's what it is. It's coercion. The state is coercive. There's no answer that goes beyond that. The state is coercive, therefore it is immoral. That's all there is to it. So all these so-called impediments and the rules and the agreements and things like that, we have to assume first that they're going to include caveats like unreasonable because they're already caveats about your rights. Well, you've got rights. So, but we're going to form an entity supposedly to protect your rights and it's going to violate your rights. See how it works? Yeah, you're getting ripped off. Or as Sarah Jane Smith said, we've been taken for a ride in Hand of Fear with Eldrad and Rokon. Ah, yes, indeed. The last Sarah Jane. Don't forget about me. And that wonderful song she whistled at the end. That was great. Elizabeth Sladen, I miss you very much. Fifth Amendment time. Hey, what's this one? I don't even know. Oh, by the way, the Fourth Amendment. Well, we can talk to Michael Hayden about that. We can talk to the NSA. We can talk to the FISA court. We can talk to the corporations that are formed by the government. So technically they're government creations, then are given private status, then are paid off by the government to engage in things that skirt the Fourth Amendment, like, say, oh, I don't know, collecting our phone records and our online information. We can look at the federal government paying off Twitter or opening back doors to Facebook or creating through monetary dispensation and giant grants things like NewsGuard and stuff like that, or the Virality Project over at Stanford, or Election Guard, all of those things, right? We can look at the WHO. We can look at the UN. We can look at the International Panel on Climate Change. We can look at all these organizations. We can look at PORC, all those things, all that stuff. And there's another one. Before we go to the Fifth Amendment, let's look at this other story from MRC TV. I mentioned in my Substack, and you'll see this story as well. I mentioned in my Substack that there is, and I brought this up on Friday because I didn't think a lot of people had heard about this thing. There's a corporation that's out there that already has been using planes to monitor so-called climate gas emissions. Oh, and by the way, you'll see my story about breathing. The supposedly breathing contributes to global warming. That one from RT. That was cute. But this corporation has been for quite a while getting a lot of data on people. And they've been collecting it by planes, and they want to start collecting it by satellite. The company is called... where is it? Carbon Mapper. And they're not the only ones. their corporation. I said, I got to talk about this on my little show Friday. Carbon Mapper is not the only corporation that is going to be gifted fascist graft and power. That power will be the power to use satellites and planes to surveil people, contrary to the Fourth Amendment, to monitor so-called gas emissions and then flag those to the EPA, which then will add to the breaches of the Constitution by imposing fines against so-called transgressors. Well, maybe if you just call yourself, I'm trans, you know, and they'll be like, oh, David Bowie sang a song about me instead of transmission. Trans, you know, TVC15. It'll be transgressions. Beep, beep. Oh, my TVC15. Uh-oh, TVC15. Well, it will impose fines against the transgressors without any trial. And we're coming to that. The Fifth, Sixth, and Eighth Amendments, without any trial or any real person claiming a tortious injury and proving it in court before a jury. What will happen to maple sugar house owners? As I mentioned on Friday, I was passing one on the way over. They're going to be burning wood. They'll be having the gases come out. Or what will happen to people who use kilns for clay? This is a very dangerous move, akin to the feds paying cell phone companies, corporations, for our phone records and thus skirting the Bill of Rights. Well, guess what, everybody? In doing some research on this weekend, and that's pretty much all I do is research, try to exercise and avoid those headaches and enjoy time talking to you guys, my friends and my family and the cats and looking and enjoying outside when I can. But in doing extra research, I discovered that I had already touched on this, and so I want to turn to my MRC TV page because you'll see this story, and I shot a video for this one as well. Al Gore claims social media algorithms should be banned for questioning climate change, of course. Okay. But folded into that is a little something else. You know, he was coming back from COP28. He was there, talked about how, well, he was like, TikTok is the equivalent of an AR-15 with the misinformation and disinformation going on out there. And where's my wife, Flipper? Bipper. We're not married. Oh, that's right. I don't like that rock and roll music, you know. Those people with that hair. We're all gonna burn! Gotta stop that rock and roll. It's contributing to climate change warming global. George Gobel. Anyway, what I remembered in doing the research was that I think it was coming back from COP27 last year. Al Gore. See, what I was doing was I was doing research for this article. I was doing research on Al Gore's so-called green investment firm. Okay. So it's a company called Generation Investments or something like that. I think it's Gore with this other dude named, I think, David Blood. So it's Blood and Gore, right? And Peter Schweitzer's been talking about this on his YouTube channel. I just started checking him out. And I have some disagreements with him on some things, but, you know, he uncovers a lot of double standards and hypocrisy and stuff like that. I think he's a little bit too, like, you know, intense and fearful about China and sort of drums that up too much. But, you know, he makes great points about, Mitch McConnell and his wife making a bunch of money off of special mercantilist deals to favor her family's, Chinese connections and things like that. But the COP27 meeting saw Al Gore take a bunch of his money, and, you know, he's a multi-billionaire now, take a bunch of his money and seed a company that actually is connected to this. So if we look at the story that I mentioned over at Substack, that corporation, the Carbon Mapper, is going up. They want to get satellites. They're doing it in planes now. And, of course, you know, people can think about all the comparisons. Like, what about the carbon that you're spewing for the planes and all that stuff? You know, again, you can bring up the hypocrisy. I have no problem, you know, bring up whatever you want to do. One can bring up the hypocrisy as long as I hope one always includes in the statement your charges about carbon emissions and methane emissions somehow causing an anthropogenic climate apocalypse are groundless. You're basing things on statistically manipulated reports, government-favored reports, politically-favored reports. You don't want to debate. Your charts are faulty. You won't, the person who created the original hockey stick graph won't reveal his sources. Already internal documents have shown that your side of things, many people have been manipulating data and communicating with each other on how to do it. That's ClimateGate 1 and 2 from University of East Anglia, England. And they cited Michael Mann and like, just do it like Michael Mann does. In other words, make it up. That's the impression that you get. And so I have no problem with people mentioning to a guy like Gore or some one of these corporations like, hey, how much carbon are you spewing out with your planes? But that is not the basis. That's not the foundation for a solid argument. It's not the foundation for a moral argument. It's not the foundation for questioning their illegitimate, corrupt ways either. It calls out their hypocrisy, but it could be seen as an assumption that their carbon accusations, their boogeyman of carbon and methane and nitrogen emissions are somehow valid. So if they could say that they had some way to reduce the carbon and still do their job, then what would your argument be? Right. Well, one of the main things to bring up here is the breach of privacy by corporations that are created by the government. So it's a loop which will then feed back to the government this information. And the information that I was able to dig up about Al Gore was this. And let me show you on the screen. Lo and behold, you'll see this this on this particular paragraph. I said. Where is it? I just lost it by enlarging it. There we go. I said, I mentioned Carbon Mapper. I said, lo and behold, Al Gore is involved as well. Back in November of 2022, I reported for MRC TV and NPR noted that Gore had laid down a stack of cash to help establish the so-called nonprofit greenhouse gas tracker website called Climate Trace, which will collect this private spy information and make it available to so-called regulators and potentially to so-called woke investment firms, the ESG, that want to blacklist other corporations they can depict as not climate sensitive. So you see how Darth Vader would might say, the circle is now complete, right? There's plenty more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live coming up.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. That's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. The Supreme Court has opted not to address, at least for now, a case regarding whether Donald Trump has immunity from prosecution for alleged crimes committed during his presidency. Friday, the High Court rejected a request from federal special counsel Jack Smith to expedite the proceedings connected to his purported efforts to overturn the 2020 election. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg is warning travelers that bad weather could affect holiday travel.
We may see some bad weather impacting travel around Christmas and New Year's. FAA is working closely with airlines to plan for that possibility.
He says they plan on holding airlines accountable for cancellations and delays. According to a report from a national real estate company, only 15% of the homes currently on the market are deemed affordable for average U.S. families. That marks a decrease from the 20% last year. John Schaefer, USA News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. We return with Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Find Liberty Conspiracy every Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Rumble and Rockfin and my Twitter feed at Gard Goldsmith. That's G-A-R-D Goldsmith. You can also find my Substack. It's Gardner Goldsmith, G-A-R-D-N-E-R. Just look it up under Substack. And every Sunday, you can receive the Sunday News Assembly with 20 stories I put together that might have a bearing on your liberty, plus contextual information to carry out of those stories long-term lessons for freedom. Let's continue with Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Back to the Bill of Rights, the Fifth Amendment. No person, and this is also counter to the Fifth Amendment, because the EPA runs counter to the Fifth Amendment, and of course, there's no enumerated power for it to exist in the first place. It also runs counter to the Sixth and Eighth Amendments. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall that's Article 4, Section 4, calling in by the states. Nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself. Tell us your information. Well, bring me to trial. And then I can't be a witness against myself. You have to get a warrant and collect this information with a warrant. Nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. So, minimum wage statutes, all these things where you've got to report something to the government, That's a breach of the Fifth Amendment. All those things, red flag laws, clear breaches of the Fifth Amendment. You know, you can name so many. In fact, in the chat, let me open it up to you all right now. And then maybe tomorrow night, I can't do the show Wednesday, maybe Thursday night. I'd love to get your thoughts on this and how far things have fallen since the creation of the Bill of Rights. Of course, we can't forget 1798. We had the Alien and Sedition Acts produced by John Adams, Mr. I'm proud of Sam Adams, my cousin, and patently unconstitutional, immoral, and coercive. But throw down some examples that you might see in your thoughts, everyone, of some of the breaches of the 4th, 5th, 6th, 8th, anything like that, 2nd, 1st. Climate change, sex change, think change, no change. You will own nothing and be happy, says Taylor Saunders. Absolutely. And Harry Hart says, truth you speak, Taylor. Yes, absolutely. Or as they say in Planet of the Apes, you wouldn't hurt me, would you, Taylor? My name is Taylor. Or that sounds like, Harry, that sounds like Yoda. Truth you speak, Taylor. Then we've got Obsolete Man back there. I got to refresh things over at Rumbletown, see what's happening. And don't forget to spread the word, everybody. Thank you very much. Appreciate you being there. Rock on. Now we're going to look at the Sixth Amendment. Of course, just compensation is determined by the government as well. So that's pretty ridiculous. And again, you know, if we're going to be talking about property being taken without just compensation, then we're talking also eminent domain. And that is a question of the government is claiming a power to just take your property and then somehow compensate you. That's ridiculous. Sixth Amendment. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel in his defense. Does the regulatory state allow for any of that? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And, of course, you are fined. It's done not through necessarily criminal charges in some cases. They call them civil charges. It's a similar thing to the drug so-called war, putting civil charges against your property and saying that that was somehow part of the criminal gang and civil asset forfeiture. And, you know, they try to skirt these things under color of law. These are not statutory. They're not constitutional. And if we're talking natural law, then the state itself is operating under color of law. The state itself is fraud. It has no authority, has no natural authority in any way whatsoever. The only thing that has natural authority over us is our Creator. That's it. That's it. Seventh Amendment. In suits at common law where the value of controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Wow. Golly, I don't know. What is that? Never heard of it. Amendment 8, excessive bail should not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Well, interesting, because you can't get fined unless you've been found guilty of something, and punishment can't be inflicted unless you've been found guilty of something. So all regulatory agencies imposing fines on people through their regulatory agencies without presenting people in front of a jury, those are massively contrary to the Eighth Amendment. Now let's go back to the Ninth Amendment. Ninth and Tenth, very, very well known, of course. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people, Amendment 9. And, of course, the Tenth Amendment, the rights reserved to the states, 1791. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. All right, turn back to Rockfin Chat, the very fine people there. We've got, let's see, Karen Carpenter says, I met my husband on jury duty. Murder of a 3-year-old was the case. Traumatic to hear and see the evidence. Wow. Isn't that interesting?
I was thrown off a jury because they heard me talk about jury nullification. Yeah, I've mentioned that story before on the show, but it is uncanny the way that that turned out, because I actually mentioned to my mom, I saw the story about a guy who got busted operating video slot machines in Manchester, New Hampshire, and I said, boy, I've got to go to jury duty. If only I could get called up for jury duty for that kind of a case, for that case, I would immediately find the guy not guilty with jury nullification. Well, it turns out I went into the court. They gave us our general instructions in front of everybody. And I asked a question about jury nullification, and the judge was like, yes, yes, he's right. You can nullify if you think the law is incorrect. I was like, yeah, that's right, dude. And you should put it on our instructions. That might be a good idea. And of course, that tax-paid parasite didn't really care. He was going to go home. He was going to have a fine lunch at my expense. But then they split us off into the separate courts for the cases, and sure enough, the suspect that they brought out, the accused, was the dude I'd seen on TV. They actually put me in the box. They selected me, and the prosecution had seen me mention jury nullification in the other room. And, you know, they can, the prosecution and defense can pull people off and ask for alternates. He pointed at me. He goes, I want him out. And he pulled me out. So I got out of jury duty, but I could have helped that guy out big time, big time. Now, want to do a couple things real quick, everybody. Want to read to you bits of a really interesting piece from the very fine folks at Real Clear Wire. David Knight brought this up on his show today. It was also posted at Zero Hedge. And here it is. This Bill of Rights Day, let's celebrate the preamble. December 15th marks the Bill of Rights Day, which commemorates the 232nd anniversary when the first 10 amendments to the United States Constitution were ratified. December 15th should be a day all Americans reflect on the unique blessings of the Bill of Rights safeguards, the freedom of speech, the right to bear arms, and being protected from undue searches and seizures, to name just a few. Of course, the government determines whether they are due or undue. But Bill of Rights Day also offers us the opportunity to reflect upon another unique aspect of our republic. Our, no, it's theirs. The preamble to the United States Constitution. Originally penned by Gouverneur Morris, I think he was a distant cousin to Robert Morris, who headed up the first bank, the Bank of North America under the Articles of Confederation, and then it was one of his former partners and friends who helped form the first bank of the United States. But Gouverneur Morris was originally penned by, the preamble was originally penned by Gouverneur Morris. And the preamble states, the original one, states, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain this Constitution for the United States of America. Okay. And although today we can find little to argue with in such beautiful and familiar language, and at the time of its framing, however, and immediately thereafter, the preamble was the subject of much debate, all intimately tied to the deliberations that resulted in the Bill of Rights. So, following the ratification of the Constitution, James Madison, he was quite an interesting cat. You know, he was worried that the states would infringe on rights. So he wanted a stronger central government. And then he started to realize the error of his ways and realized that the central government was going to be the main problem. But following the ratification of the Constitution, James Madison turned over a package of recommendations for a Bill of Rights to a House Select Committee on Amendments in 1789. In the committee's initial report, dated July 28, 1789, the very first proposal was an amendment to the preamble. As the report put it, quote, in the introductory paragraph before the words, we the people, add government being intended for the benefit of the people and the rightful establishment thereof being derived from their authority alone. Well, of course, that's tautological because it's not everyone who's going to vote for that government. So you can't say there. It would be a majority of those people who will now crush the choices of the minority who want to be left alone. This is the problem. It's just over and over again. I mean, it's systemic. It goes to, you know, Locke's philosophy. It goes even back to Aristotle, obviously to Plato. Why amend the preamble? It turns out that members of Congress from New York, Virginia, and North Carolina felt that we the people on its own was inadequate. according to these congressmen, some further explanation of the source of rightful government was in order, more explicitly connecting the preamble back to the words of the Declaration of Independence to make clear that the people, wink, wink, are the source of all legitimate governments. Well, again, government is not legitimate. The state is not legitimate. Only voluntary interactions and voluntary agreements are legitimate. I mean, it's just what it is. I mean, it's just this playground where they play. It's just so stupid. In this proposed amendment, new text was to be incorporated into the body of the Constitution. Madison favored this approach, while Roger Sherman of Connecticut, the only founding father to have signed the Articles of Association and Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation, and the Constitution, opposed it. Madison, always the moderate, favored the approach mainly for the sake of compromise and harmony. Sherman, meanwhile, felt that the preamble was sufficient as is. In fact, its worth had been demonstrated by the practical results of the Constitution's adoption. Now, Madison and others were asking for new language that would give the people a right to do what they did and to let them know that they had a right to exercise a natural and inherent privilege. After all, the Constitution had been ordained and established on the basis of popular consent. All right, I think we'll just stop there because I want to turn to something else. And I want to just give you an example of how fallacious the idea of the Constitution being a guarantor of rights and how often people overlook how fallacious that is and how often people overlook the machinations. And these machinations ended up resulting in these different arguments about the preamble, and then eventually the dissatisfaction of people like James Madison and the push for the Bill of Rights. So this writer here, Jack Miller, Hans Ziegler, president of the Jack Miller Center, writes, "So as we celebrate the ratification of the Bill of Rights this December 15th, let us remember that these 10 great amendments only serve as an additional layer of protection. The preamble itself and the entire structure of our Constitution already protects these rights." And of course, they argued as to whether or not you should have to spell out the rights, or if it's understood that the government can't do things. And of course, that's pretty naive. And that, you know, some people say, well, you don't need to amend this because only the enumerated powers are what the government will do. So you don't need the double protection, so-called double protection. Well, obviously, that's quite naive. And even with the double protection, they ended up screwing people over big time. But I want to turn to, again, this fantastic book, Hologram of Liberty, by Kenneth Royce, otherwise known as Boston Tea Party. And give you an example from Chapter 3, and there are numerous examples here, and I want to spill out a lot of them. 1787 to 1788, the contest for ratification. This will show you what was going on behind the scenes with people like Hamilton and how uneasy many of the signers of the Declaration and many others were feeling about this move to create a taxing authority, suck money into a central bank, and then hand out privileges and have the so-called great nation that Alexander Hamilton wanted to have through favoritism, through the elites, the politically connected, to create a new political class in the United States, much like Michelle Wu wants for her people that she sees as the electeds of color who need to be propped up in, for some reason, evidently. Here's what Royce says in Chapter 3. This is a quote from Forrest MacDonald, his book, Alexander Hamilton, A Biography. "What did determine the outcome of ratification were the rules of the contest, which Hamilton played an important part in formulating. The convention decided to disregard the amendment procedures prescribed in the Articles of Confederation and instead provided that each state should hold a special election for delegates to a ratifying convention. If and when the conventions of 9 states voted to ratify, of course, the articles required 100% unanimity of all of the 13 states to change anything. if and when the conventions of nine states voted to ratify, the Constitution would go into effect for those states, leaving the others free to come under the new roof or not as they pleased, which, of course, might have been belied by the fact that Hamilton and others pushed for a blockade of Rhode Island, which is an act of war, as we know. Just ask FDR, because he did that to the Japanese before the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. And they were going to blockade Rhode Island to force them to vote to ratify or not ratify, just to vote. And, of course, there were all sorts of very dirty dealings inside states, shutting down newspapers and things like that, that might have been anti-Constitution and pro-Articles. Had the rules of the Articles of Confederation, writes Forrest MacDonald, been adhered to, requiring the unanimous approval of the state legislatures, the Constitution would never have been adopted. Even with the split infinitive, that's powerful. The ratification struggle began with a clever move by the proponents of the new Constitution. Since sentiment in the country was hostile to the idea of a national government and preferred a confederation or federation, the words are synonymous or were synonymous in the 18th century, the nationalist centralist proponents called themselves federalists, even though the new document was not, strictly speaking, a federation at all. It was not what the old articles actually had been. By taking the popular word federal to denote the new Constitution, its backers gained an important image victory for themselves. The word federal came eventually to mean the form of government embodied in the new Constitution, just as Confederate came to mean the more strictly League of States idea of the Articles of Confederation, and eventually the Confederacy of 1861 to 1865. The foes of ratification, moreover, were left with the negative designation anti-federalists. The term federalist here, uncapitalized, refers to the proponents of the new Constitution, 1787 to 1789, and is a different group from the political party formed in the 1790s called the Federalist Party, usually capitalized. And that comes from Ralph Ketchum, The Anti-Federalist Papers, which is a great book, by the way. A pair of books. Similarly, writes Boston Tea Party, Vladimir Lenin turned his tiny band of communists, the Bolsheviks, otherwise known as Majority, leaving the czarist majority with the ironic label Mensheviks, minority. The Federalists not only purposely ignored the articles and deceived the public, but embodied this collectivist deception in their very name. Cleverly bypassing the state legislatures is the next section. Since all but two of the 13 states had a bicameral house, there would have been 24 separate House debates to win majority assent. So the Founding Fathers instead sent the proposed Constitution to one ratifying convention, so-called, of each state, which simplified their work by nearly half. So they weren't really the state legislatures, which is also required for the articles, right? Convention delegates were elected from generally Federalist pools. In no state but the fiercely independent Rhode Island was the Constitution actually put directly to the citizenry at large. And he has a quote from Gouverneur Morris. My object is to impress the necessity of calling speedily held conventions in order to prevent enemies to the plan from giving it the go-by. When the Constitution first appears with the sanction of this convention, the people will be favored to it, or favorable to it. By degrees, however, the state officers and those interested in the state governments will intrigue and turn the popular current against it. In other words, they'll stick up for state sovereignty and actually start exposing some of the fallacies within the Constitution. Conventioner Luther Martin observed that the people would not ratify the Constitution, quote, unless they are hurried into it by surprise, end quote. According to the haughty Federalists, it was to be this Constitution or nothing. Of course, this leads us towards the sentiment that led to the Bill of Rights, the anniversary of which was this past weekend. And Americans had a duty to cultivate a, quote, spirit of submission to the counsels of the Great Patriot Band. Oink, oink. Great Patriot Band. The Patriots looked at the Constitution as a usurpation. So they were using that PR propagandistic language back then, right? You know, calling people who are patriotic now to potential domestic terrorist threats, you know, that sort of thing. The oath keepers, the people who want to keep their oaths, somehow enemies to the United States. And this is James Madison when he was originally pushing. He said, Madison gravely warned, either we grant these powers or let the Union be dissolved. This overbearing tone and hollow urgency alarmed many Americans who wrote essays pleading for caution. Here's the Federal Farmer from the 8th of October, 1787. And just remember this phrase, never squander a good crisis. It is natural for men, wrote the farmer, who wish to hasten the adoption of a measure, to tell us, now is the crisis, now is the critical moment, which must be seized, or we will be lost, and to shut the door against free inquiry, whenever conscious the thing presented has defects in it, which time and investigation will probably discover. This has been the custom of tyrants in their dependence, and their dependents in all epochs. And here's Brutus, an anti-federalist, from October 18th, 1787. Momentous, then, is the question you have to determine, and you are called upon by every motive which should influence a noble and virtuous mind to examine it well and to make up a wise judgment. It is instead, indeed, that this Constitution must be received, be it ever so imperfect. If it has its defects, it is said, they can be best amended when they are experienced. But remember, when the people once part with power, they can seldom or never resume it again but by force.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.